The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Well, if you haven't given up on the Diamondbacks by now, it might be the right time. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher. I kid, guys. We're not going to give up on the Diamondbacks.
What are you doing?
I'm just saying.
You're begging people to give up on this podcast is what you're doing.
I'm just saying I would understand if you did. That's all I'm saying. Looking at pretty much everything that has happened since the trade deadline, it's not good.
Not great.
It's not good. And we're going to get into some of the reasons that maybe some of their recent transactions make it feel even worse. We're going to get to that here in a few. But there are 9 games remaining this season. Although you may not be super excited about any of them, I will tell you that there are some things that we are looking forward to. Yes, Derek, why are you smiling so
much? Let's start off with the fact they're not eliminated from playoff contention yet.
Okay.
They're only 6 games back.
I don't think anybody is.
Nah, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, Pittsburgh is?
Pretty much eliminated. Well, yeah. Right. They're 9 games back, and what is there, like 9 games left to go? So
the hope is still alive.
Hope's still alive for everybody.
You're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Obviously, nobody thinks this is a playoff team. I would love to see what would actually have to occur for the Diamondbacks to make the playoffs.
A lot.
Yeah. The Dodgers already clinched, right?
Yeah. It would pretty much be...
No one's clinched a division title
right.
yet.
The Dodgers have clinched a playoff.
The Dodgers have, the White Sox have, and the Rays
Tampa
have.
Tampa Bay Rays have, yes, correct.
So that's the only 3 I've seen so far.
We knew this was how it was going to work, that the last week of the season was going to be dramatically more like important than any other because of how few games there are over the course of the season.
Correct.
Everybody's going to be within a certain amount of games of each other.
Well, and that brings me to how the weird playoff tiebreakers are going to work in order to determine who makes it actually into the playoffs, because MLB has announced that there will be no like play-in game should 2 teams tie for a playoff seed. If any of the 2 teams tie for an 8 playoff berth in each league, it's going to be determined first by head-to-head record, then by winning percentage within the own division. And then it gets even more interesting, if you want to call it that, because if 2 or more teams tie for a playoff seed, then it's the combined head-to-head record against the other tied teams, then the higher winning percentage within the own division. And if somehow none of those determine who gets the playoff seed per chance, the final determination is the record in the final 20 division games.
Not even the final 20 games, final 20 division games.
Yeah. It's very specific, and I mean, what, 20 division games is 10 shy of how many you played probably all season long?
You would think the final 20 games in general would give you a better picture of how that team is performing currently, as opposed to the final 20.
What if you're tied with someone who's not in your division?
It's based on your record in your division.
Weird,
right?
Yeah.
So that's why you could technically both have the same record within your own division. It's less likely if you're tied with someone in your own division.
I'd rather watch a hot baseball team in the playoffs than a team that won a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely,
that gets in on a technicality.
Yeah,
even still,
yeah,
somebody's gonna get in on a technicality. It's gonna happen. I mean, it might
probably one of the
hot team.
Probably one of the COVID teams, the Cardinals or the Marlins.
Yeah, crazy to think about.
What's odd is I still haven't seen, and I know I'm probably wrong about this. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but I've seen multiple breakdowns of how the playoffs are going to work. So I'm still curious how it's going to work. Is it literally just going to be the number 1 seed plays the 8th seed in a 5-game series?
I thought
is that
there was a
breakdown,
at least a single elimination game or a best of 3 or something in there. I don't even know. Like, it's not even clear
right,
how their playoffs are working. At least it's not clear to me.
On MLB.com, they do have a bracket.
Yeah.
And the bracket shows just your traditional tournament bracket, like what you
NCAA
see.
NCAA tournament style.
Yeah, versus 8, 2 versus 7.
Yeah, what
NBA,
you see in the NBA and NHL.
3 versus
weird.
6.
I just don't like that.
I don't know if I did that math right.
No, well, because that, honestly, like, that's great, to be honest, because that really does give these lower seed teams a chance to make it in. It just doesn't give you any advantage for being your division winner. You know, it doesn't really, you could be a division winner and still not even ranked in the top 3, because they're not giving the division winners necessarily the top 3, you know, spots, because it's based on record. So I don't know. There's just, it takes out a lot of, you know, what baseball is built around in the division, aside from them worrying so much about what your record is in the division in the last couple of games. That stuff's all boring. None of that matters. The D-backs aren't going to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
That was determined at the, I think, you know, at the trade deadline. I think that it, you know, you look back at the Nick Ahmed rant about what Mike Hazen said, and although I appreciate his passion and his desire to still be a competitor and a competitive team, that wasn't it, man. And I mean, it's good for you to try to get your team fired up and get the fans to still believe, you know, in the team and keep watching. It just wasn't realistic.
Didn't work.
Right. I mean, when you look at what the Diamondbacks did at the trade deadline, their record reflects what they knew was going to happen. And we've discussed that even with the pieces that they lost, they might not have won that many more games. But it is hard to see what some of the pieces that they lost have done since they went away.
Okay. I'm going to do this. Nobody wants to be that guy, so I'll just be that guy.
Be that guy, Steve.
We enjoy when you're that guy.
I think generally Diamondbacks fans liked Jake Lamb as a person, as a clubhouse guy, as a player. Here's the thing. I've said it all along. I've said it for 2.5 years. He is not good at baseball. That's just how I felt based on the numbers.
How you felt?
He was really good in the first half of the 2017 season, and he got an all-star nod. I'd like to remind everybody that you only have to be good for about 2.5 months to make the all-star team.
Also, his best batting average to end a season is .263.
Not great. Decent, not great.
Totally great. Had he maintained that throughout his career and not dropped down to .193 and .185 in the last two seasons, then yes, that might have been a difference.
What was it? Like a week ago, Jake Lamb got DFA'd.
He did. Mm-hmm.
And we sat here and we talked about it was
exactly
a week ago.
We yucked it up,
it
didn't
was a
we?
Goodbye for Jake Lamb. Yeah, it was a goodbye because we assumed that there was no way he'd be coming back.
Oh, you were so happy, Steve.
I was happy because he didn't deserve the opportunity that they gave him this year. Sorry, he didn't. Mm-hmm. They were gracious enough to give him, what was it, like a $4 million deal or whatever for the final year of control, which ended up being much lower because of COVID-19. So it wasn't a huge risk, but they gave him an opportunity. He failed. He sucked. And then they cut him, essentially.
And he got another opportunity.
And he got an opportunity. And I think this is generally how fans felt. They felt like good for him.
Yes.
He got another chance.
And
we wanted to see that happen.
At the core of it, unless he would have gone to the Dodgers like we feel about AJ, we would have wanted him to have success.
Do well.
That's the other thing.
You don't wish anything bad on the guy.
Right. However.
However.
With that being said,
I can't sit here and watch him hit home runs and doubles and have 5 hits in 12 plate appearances when he had 5 hits in 50 plate appearances with a Diamondback.
2 doubles and 2 RBI. 2 RBI, mind you, which are double the amount of RBI that he had with the Arizona Diamondbacks all season long. A walk. He has struck out 3 times, but he's hitting .455 with a .500 on-base percentage, Steve.
That's double the on-base percentage.
You said he wasn't good. You said he wasn't good. You sat here and told me he wasn't good.
He wasn't good.
You lied to me,
Steve. He was awful.
Oh, I hate you so
much. And
then
he goes to Oakland, filling in, by the way, for an injured third baseman that's probably one of the best in the game, and all of a sudden, he's amazing. It's a small sample size, I'll admit that.
Do we want to talk about Archie Bradley and the fact that he has a 0.00 ERA in five games? In 6 2/3 innings, he's given up 3 hits, no runs.
What's Andrew Chafin doing?
Still injured?
Still injured.
Okay, good. At least we have that one.
Robbie Ray.
No.
He started two games. He won one of them. He has a 4.38 ERA.
That's not,
instead of 11?
That's typical Robbie Ray.
And 14 strikeouts in those two game starts.
Very Robbie Ray.
Jake Lamb, when I saw that video of him hitting that first home run with the A's,
that was a bomb.
I said to myself, he hasn't hit a ball that hard in 2 years.
Nope.
No.
Well, and you know,
unbelievable.
What? Here's the thing:
literally a change. Is this because you always hear a change of scenery? This guy needs a change of scenery.
It's a big deal.
Is this literally all he needed was just to be somewhere else?
Okay, well, let's
because things got so just it's the same thing over and over and over again.
Let's pump the brakes on that and let's see how he does overall.
I'm not saying he's an all-star again.
Well, that's the problem is that Jake Lamb tends to be one of those guys that can look good in like spring training or look good in the first couple of games of the season and you think he's returned to form and then it doesn't happen. He, in his heart of hearts, is a third baseman. And I think that he knew that he wasn't going to get that opportunity to play third base here with Eduardo Escobar. The team had pretty much committed, and that can take a toll on you mentally, right? You thought you were going to be this starting, third baseman for the team, and then you just kind of see that opportunity taken from you. Not to say he didn't deserve to have that opportunity taken from him. It's just, in his own mind, that's how he could perceive it.
He might have thought he got a first base job.
Correct.
When they got rid of Goldie.
And then all of a sudden Christian Walker takes that. Right. Yeah,
I was just
going to
say that.
Yeah. So it comes back around to even if now he is just a fill-in guy or someone who's going to start every couple of days or just be a pinch hitter or whatever for another team, it's easier for him to accept that role now for that other team rather than this team that he played his entire career for.
He could, yeah, because he could look at the Diamondbacks and be like, I used to be the second best offensive player on this team.
And he'd
now
be right.
I can't buy a hit.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's why it hurts so much. It hurts so much. And I know it's a small sample size. I know it's only a couple of games. I know it's only a couple of hits. It's just that it's about the same number of hits he had in a lot longer period of time here. Here's why it hurts so much. This is like when your girlfriend breaks up with you and next week she has a hotter boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Like with a really
nice
car.
That's what's happening here.
You're like, dude.
You're like, wait a minute.
What?
We were just miserable a week ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I wasn't happy, but at least you were also miserable with me.
Right.
And now, a week later, I'm still miserable, and you're off with this super hot guy making me look bad.
And I felt like you were the one making me miserable, but now I'm starting to think, was I the one making you miserable?
I was the miserable one.
Oh, my God.
And it makes me think, were the Diamondbacks the problem?
They maybe are.
Instead of Jake Lamb.
Have you been to that stadium?
I'm worried.
It's like one of the oldest stadiums in baseball now. I don't know if you've heard
this
that.
This has nothing to do with baseball, but is it worse if your ex breaks up with you and then her new boyfriend is uglier than you? Is that bad for you? I feel like it's worse.
I'm at least happier, I feel.
You're happier?
Yeah, because I feel good about myself.
Someone worse.
Because I can look at him and I can be like, oh, I'm better looking than that guy.
Hmm.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
Just random question.
I don't know. I've never encountered this, so.
You've never encountered.
Not that I can remember. I don't know. Girls have broken up with me. Believe me on that one. Yeah, it just pains me. By the way, they cannot have one of the older stadiums in baseball.
They do.
Is that right?
That's right.
I mean, obviously, there's Wrigley, Fenway, and Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Cleveland is older.
No.
Yes.
It is
Cleveland
not.
Cleveland opened in 1994. The Diamondbacks opened in 1997, right?
98.
Okay.
98.
They built it in 97, I guess.
First pitch was 98.
Yeah, Cleveland, the Jake was open in
94. It was Progressive Field at the time, right?
Isn't it was the Jake
it's Progressive
at the time,
Field
and
now.
Progressive Field, yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I call it the Jake. I'm from Cleveland.
What about Toronto?
Rogers Center?
I don't know if
Rogers Center
older.
Is older. 1989.
Yeah, that's older. Safeco?
Tropicana Field is older.
Really?
Well,
that
because it
was
existed
terrible.
A long time before the Rays actually.
I was going to say Texas opened in 94, but Texas just replaced their stadium. So, well, that's something.
And Angels no longer play at Angel Stadium. They have a new one.
Okay, so maybe the Diamondbacks have like top, what is that? Put them in the top 10?
Yeah.
Oldest stadiums?
Mm-hmm.
You think that was making Jake Lamb bad?
Well, he went to go play at the Coliseum, so I don't think that that's the case.
No, I think your argument is kind of spoiled. Yeah.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that it definitely the change of scenery, just, new team, trying harder. I think, honestly, it could be a lot of things. Coaching staff, outlook on life, being close to the water.
Playoff contention.
Surfing.
I think a lot of people just feel like...
Winning team.
A lot of people feel like, good
surfing
for Jake Lamb. Like... You just want to see him do well,
yeah.
And I don't. Sorry, I don't.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
You monster.
There's just people you root for, and then there's Jake Lamb.
It has nothing to do with him because, like,
yes,
I don't.
Yes, it does.
No.
It has everything to do with him.
I don't
you
know
are
him.
So jealous of his boyish good looks.
I don't know him personally. You never wish anything bad on anybody professionally, but I don't want to see him do well elsewhere. That's all this is.
I asked my dumbest question as a journalist to Jake Lamb. So from that point of view, I'm glad he's gone, so I don't have to look
him.
What
was the question?
The question was, he got hit by a baseball, and I believe I asked
yes,
him
if, it hurt.
If there was something he thought he could have done to get out of the way of it.
Yeah.
It was something
Duck?
To that.
What was your strategy there?
It was something to that.
What were you effect? Thinking as the ball yeah. screamed toward you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, not one of my proudest moments.
By the way, I think it was A's closer Liam Hendricks that said they already have a little cute thing with Jake Lamb where if he gets a hit, the whole bullpen baas like a sheep, like a lamb.
That's not cool.
No, it's not cool.
No, that's stupid, and I hate
that's
it.
Why I called
now
it
I'm
that's
on,
why I called it cute.
You know what? Now I'm on Steve's side. Now I want to see him do bad.
That's our lamb. You can't do that.
Nobody comes up with anything cool 90% of the way through the season.
No, not at all. Look at the Diamondbacks with that still stupid-ass Rat Leon thing. I still don't understand. Okay. What did that even mean?
Can we clarify? Is it Rat Leon or Rat Leon?
I don't know.
I want to hope that it's Rat Leon because it makes him sound like a dirty rat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's Rat Leon.
Like, yo, that's normal Leon over there, but that's Rat Leon.
I'm getting a particular vibe because I did not understand Rat Leon at first.
I don't think anybody did.
What do you mean understand?
So you're not aware of what Rat Leon, where it came from and
no.
what its significance
no.
is?
No.
I mean, it's not really significant, but okay. at least what it stands for? You don't get that?
No.
Okay, here it is.
What does it stand? It stands for something.
Okay. So if you put Rat and Leon together and add a T, because for some reason they took out a T, it's hashtag
no!
Rattle on.
No! Why?
Is your mind blown?
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That is so stupid.
That's what we've been saying all along.
Oh my God. It's not even like Rat T Leon.
No,
like,
it's Rat
they
Leon.
They could have given him a middle initial. What? Is that like a permanent thing?
I can't be.
They had a costume.
It was just one
They got
game,
a rat
right?
costume for someone.
They have a new hashtag every year. They can't keep him around. Right?
I think Rattleon's
Remember
been
that
there
one
for
year
while.
After they were the worst team in baseball? It was like shed your skin or something? Remember that year?
No!
No, what?
You are making that up.
I am dead serious.
You are making that up.
Shed your skin?
Shed your, yeah. Hashtag shed your
I swear
skin.
To God.
No.
There's no way.
That sounds like a... That sounds I'm terrible.
Gonna, I'm going to find
they get,
it.
We still get... I still see people making fun of the R season hashtag.
Mm, mm.
So that was after 2017, wasn't it?
R season, yeah. R season.
Yeah, is it R season or R season?
It was season. It was
Rat-Leon. Rat-Leon.
Rattle on. Are you kidding me?
Rat-Leon. Rat-Leon. I don't know.
That's...
Is there an accent over it?
Well, I figured
who's responsible
with
for that?
Geographically,
out,
where
Steve.
We are, you know, I figured maybe
a lot of
Leon.
French.
No, like Leon, isn't
it's
that
Hispanic?
Isn't that Spanish?
No.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
for Leon, Leon, yeah. Leon.
I have a friend whose last name is Leon.
Okay.
Is he Hispanic?
She is. Yeah.
She. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it?
There you go.
L-E-A-O-N-N.
L-E-O-N.
Yeah.
Rat Leon. See, Leon. When I first read it, I thought it was Rat Leon.
I said Rat Leon.
Yeah, and it's worse.
I hope it's Rat Leon.
Nah, I like it, and I like the way Bear says it, too.
Rat Leon.
Yeah, that's good. That's
quick update.
I'm going to steal your cheeks.
Oh, my God. That's
quick
so
update.
Dumb.
I cannot find the hashtag.
Because
yeah,
it doesn't exist.
You made it
up. Making that up.
There is no way that was an actual thing.
I'm pretty sure it was.
That seems like you're just inviting
the Diamondbacks
disaster.
beat the Dodgers 5-4. Hashtag shed your
skin. Shed your skin, baby.
There's
no
sure.
way.
No.
I'm
there's
pretty
no
sure.
way.
No.
No way.
Yeah, there's been some bad ones.
Oh.
I don't even mind Rattle On, but now I hate it.
Like, why'd now, they take the tea away?
I'll never look at Rattle On the
don't
same
worry.
Anymore.
It'll be gone in 9 days.
Oh, yeah, it will
nine
be.
More games, and then they'll come up with a new campaign
nine
for next
nine more games.
They need an exterminator.
That's all that's left in the D-back season. So what are we going to see? Do they just wave the white flag? Do they make a run at the final playoff position?
No.
Come on, guys,
I'll
get
tell
on board.
You, I don't know what's going to happen, but there's one thing I want to see that I need to see
okay.
as someone who watches this team and is a fan of this team. I need to see Madison Bumgarner have a good start.
Just one.
Just one,
just
please.
Just one, for
please.
The love of God.
Because if everything goes back to normal next year, He's set to make, I believe it's like $17 million.
Well,
because
they deferred that contract inwards.
And this year he was only supposed to make around five. And that was, we were praising Mike Hazen. And it was a good deal because, and then no one could predict what would happen with COVID-19.
Correct.
But,
correct.
So far, he has started seven games this year. He's 0-4 with an 8.53 ERA with a 1.74 whip and 19 strikeouts. In just 31.2 innings. His last three starts, he hasn't made it out of the sixth without giving up eight runs. His last start against the Angels, Torrey Lovello probably left him in a little too long. He probably could have left in the fifth inning and been confident about what he had done, but he threw him back out there in the sixth inning, and he ended up giving up eight runs on 13 hits. I need to see Madison Bumgarner have a good start going into next year because I am starting to be very concerned that what everyone else said is true, that he's not the same pitcher that he was in San Francisco. Obviously, he's not. There's a lot of miles on that arm.
Of course.
He's done a lot of good. But he's only 30 years old.
And even last year with a really bad Giants team, he was still really good.
Yeah. I need to see him go out there and just... Get me six innings with three or less. Give me a quality start, please.
$19 million next year.
19.
There.
Oh my gosh.
$23 million the following year. $23 million the year after that.
If I don't see a good start from Madison Bumgarner and then he continues this trend into the beginning of next year, I am going to start just looking like, wow, what a terrible contract that is. He's only 30 years old. I feel like I'm watching a 35, 36-year-old pitcher. He's only 30. And it's, like I said, a lot of miles on that arm, I know. But,
honestly,
come on!
I
please!
I feel like there's no need to even see him pitch again.
Ah.
Because I would like him just...
He only gets probably one or at most two more starts nine games left.
I know. I'm just saying, I it's kind of like what we were talking about with Marte.
How good Ketel Marte is.
No, I know.
I need this.
But it's also not going to determine anything because he's still going to have the off season and come back. My hope with that situation is that he was injured, you know, and that he just, you know, his body has a lot of miles on it. He needs some time off. He had a lot of time off, but it's also that weird kind of thing where you had to keep in shape because you had no idea when that, you know, whole situation with the beginning of the season was going to end. So there was no taking time off and just relaxing for him. I'm sure it was a constant training situation, and maybe he overtrained. Maybe that was part of it.
I just hope that his whole routine was so thrown off because he seems like a guy that routine really matters.
Yes.
And I hope that the main cause for his struggles was because of the shutdown in spring training and all that. That's what I hope. I don't know. But all I know is I need to see him go out there one more time and give me six innings with three runs or less.
Yeah. So that you can go through the whole offseason thinking to yourself, like, okay, maybe this contract will
work.
Yes.
Right.
$19 million next year, Steve.
I don't know, man. I remember one time talking to this guy in the press box at the spring training games, and like he's a scout. He's pretty old, and he's like one of my favorite people to talk to, and yet I don't know his name because he's just randomly there sitting next to me sometimes in the, you know, the assigned seats next to me. But his whole thing one time he was telling me was how much he hates the fact that now the baseball players like train during the off season, and in his belief that was the reason why so many pitchers require Tommy John surgery now.
They're throwing too much.
They're not just taking the time off. He's like, baseball is a long season. Spring training to get ready is a long... It's a camp, and then it's spring training. There's a long...
Kids play year-round now.
Right.
That's the worst thing a kid could do.
Yeah, his whole thing was that he just feels like with baseball's off-season being so short that players need to actually take that time off.
Right.
The only thing you can hope is that is the exact reason why, mixed with, you know, a back injury that kept him from being able to, you know, have his normal, you know, pitching motion or whatever, whatever the case may be. I'm with you 100%, though. There's $85 million invested in a Madison Bumgarner, and that's not a contract you're going to get someone else to take. Zach Greinke, you were able to fleece the Astros on because Greinke still obviously had a lot to offer.
He produced.
He produced.
And they were going for a World Series.
he adjusted his style at an older age when he wasn't able to hit the velocity that he hit in order for him to still be an efficient pitcher. That's something, again, out of Madison Bumgarner that, you know, we kind of expected to see, but this season hasn't really been that. It's just been more of him trying to find that velocity and it not being there.
One more thing, and I'll be done, is...
Forever?
Well, I don't know. Who knows? Okay. You never know. But I need to see him go out there and have a good start. Also, because after his last start against the Angels and his post-game comments were, I don't know where the ball's going. I tried to throw it in. It went outside. I tried to throw it outside. It went in. I tried to throw it up. It was down. Tried to throw it down. It was up. And this is a veteran ace pitcher who seems lost on as to why he's struggling. I need to see him go out there and finally put it together. Okay, I'm done.
I have an answer for that, by the way. I just want to say that I feel like his disdain for the media is why he doesn't really want to answer or why he answers those questions like that. Like, he just goes out there and they're like, how'd you feel about your start? And he's like, whatever. Words. Because here, it went this. It couldn't do anything right. You know, like, I don't know. I see people give interviews like that quite often after a bad performance or a loss where they just don't even want to talk about it, but they have to. So they get annoyed at the questions and they really just give whatever, right? They get very aggressive with their answers towards us, like as if we're the ones that are pressing them or making them look bad by simply asking, like, what were you going for when that, you know,
what were you trying to do when you did that stupid thing?
When you threw that pitch for the grand
slam. Jake Lamb, why didn't you get out of the way of that ball?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Madison Bumgarner, 8.53 ERA this season.
My concerns, and we talked about this when the three of us wrote an article at ArizonaSports.com at the beginning of the season, right before the season. One of my concerns was that Madison Bumgarner has not been the dominant Madison Bumgarner that he's branded as since 2016. Even before this season, like, I thought he would be a good pitcher. I thought he'd be better than he is now. Don't get me wrong. And again, small sample size, but let's take the season for what it is. I wondered before the year if you were really going to give $23 million a year, which kind of, it's more like 20, I guess, when you break it all out yearly. Were you really going to give $20 million a year to a guy who was pretty good? But he wasn't Zach Greinke. And Greinke got $34 million a year from the Diamondbacks. This was Mike Hazen's first big free agent contract that he handed out. And it's a weird one, the way that the money breaks out. But ultimately, what it comes down to is he paid a guy who hasn't really been that World Series dominant Bumgarner in 4 or 5 years. And I wondered if that was worth it at the time. We're going to be left wondering, even if he goes out and has a good start, his numbers are still not going to be great for the year. So we're all going to be wondering during the offseason, which Madison Bumgarner are we getting in 2021? Are we getting the guy who branded himself in San Francisco as a clutch dominant performer? Or are we getting the guy who in 2020 couldn't find his footing and couldn't find the velocity? So, yeah, my concern has always existed with Madison Bumgarner, and I wanted to believe he was going to be better than this. But at the same time, you can't just ignore the fact that he hasn't been that dominant player in almost 4 years now.
I'd like to blame it all on one situation, one thing. I mean, you could say it's the, you know, weird season. You could
change
say
of scenery.
Change of scenery.
The opposite effect of Jake Lamb.
Yeah, you could say it's coming to Chase Field. There's a lot of things you could blame it on. But I blame it on the fact that his secret identity as Mason Saunders was ruined.
Boy.
It was outed and it was put out there in the world, and he just wasn't the same ever since, because that was his secret. No one knew about that.
Was Superman ever the same when he was revealed to be Clark Kent?
Could you imagine Batman still fighting crime the same with people being like, hey, Bruce, over here, Bruce, right? Come on.
I could picture him talking to Alfred one night, like, it's just not the same anymore, Alfred. They know who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting on the costume just doesn't make sense when everyone knows who you are.
So really, at the core here, I blame Zach Buchanan.
Okay.
Yeah, Zach Buchanan and Andrew Baggerly.
All right.
The two of them got together and conspired to put this information out there in the world. And
let the man have his rodeo.
Yeah, that's it. That's
what do you guys want to see? 9 games left.
Derek?
What do you want to see?
I don't know. I would like to see the young guys continue to get time. I'd like to see them develop. It's garbage time. So now is the time to just get them that experience.
I like that Pavin Smith is getting chances. Yeah. That was Mike Hazen's first round draft pick, too.
Right.
So
you're not going to get any playing time in any kind of minor leagues this year. So everybody's going to forgive you for not really being great at a major league level when your development was rushed like this. I don't think it's a bad thing for them to be working with major league coaches and seeing major league pitching, even if it's a bit intimidating and you know, you're not having that success at first. I've seen a lot out of Pavin Smith that I like, and I mean, he still looks like a giant child out there when he's playing baseball. So that delights me that he's so young and that he's really coming along nicely under this, I mean, this kind of trial by fire. You know, this isn't an easy situation to be a young player and succeed under. Dalton Varsho is another guy that's really stepped up and just shown that he can contribute in a number of ways. And I like that. I like that even if they're not playing the positions that they naturally play in minor leagues or whatever, they're able to adapt and contribute something to this team. And, you know, even if they're not going 1-for-4 in a night, they're still able to, you know, play defense and get up there at the plate and have productive at bats. So, you know, I just want to see that development continue because these guys are going to get more time in the future. And hopefully, you know, they're earning it now at the end of the season.
That's what I want to see, too, specifically with Varsho playing center field. Is that the future of the position for the Diamondbacks? Is it Varsho? And that question's not going to be answered in the next 9 games, even if he plays all 9 of them and plays well. But it just is. It's an intriguing thing in my mind because I remember when they made the trade for Starling Marte in the offseason, that was like the last position that they needed to fill with somebody who's a regular everyday starter that's capable. Because for the last 5 years, it feels like the Diamondbacks have had just a rotation in the outfield. Just, you never really had that guy. David Peralta was always going to be out there, but you didn't know where sometimes.
Yeah. And Pollock was always injured. Right. So even though he was really good at center field, yeah, it was inconsistent.
So I'm looking to figure out what the outfield looks like going forward, especially when some of them are older. And ultimately, we've seen a lot of players that have been here a long time that have been moved on from in the last 2 seasons. So one thing I'm looking for in the next 9 days is, who are we going to be saying goodbye to?
I hope we're saying goodbye to Rat Leon.
Oh, man.
Rat Leon.
That's the only person I want to see.
It's Rat Leon.
Rat Leon.
And again, this won't be answered in the next 9 games, but I do wonder, are there other players on this team that maybe the Diamondbacks go a little bit closer to a rebuild than we thought they were going to? And who knows? Are they going to move on from David Peralta? Are they going to move on from Escobar while they have him under a good deal? I can't see them moving away from Ketel Marte because he has that otherworldly potential.
Escobar, because Escobar, once again, he's a slow starter, and this would right about now would be the point of the season when he starts turning it on. And
he's a free agent at the end of next season.
I
could see them moving on from him a year out.
I would think everybody that's not named Ketel Marte or Zach Gallen would be on the table.
Which to me why I start to wonder, who are we saying goodbye to in the next 9 games? I don't know that there is anybody. It might be none of them. Maybe David Peralta's back. I'd like to see them back. Don't get me wrong. They're fan favorites in a lot of ways. But with Eduardo Escobar being only under contract for 1 more year, and it's a good contract, that's going to appeal to somebody. Yeah. Somebody that's probably more competitive than the Diamondbacks are right now. So I'm just curious, in the next 9 games, who are we going to be watching on the field that maybe we won't see in 2021? I don't know.
God, what a bummer.
Sorry.
You know, we started this off with that they're not going to make the playoffs, and this is how we're ending it?
Sorry.
What is wrong
with you? How would you like to end it?
With the death of Rat Leon. I will never use that hashtag ever again as long as I live. I swear to God, I'm so upset.
We've called out so many people in today's podcast.
We're really full of
ourselves. Whoever came up with Rat Leon,
we're
calling you out for sure. Zach Buchanan, shots fired.
I mean, come
Jake
on.
Lamb, we don't even want you to do well.
Yeah.
That's mostly you.
Yeah, it's mostly me.
I jumped on board with that pretty fast. Yeah. Once I heard about
I've been thinking about it the whole time I've been sitting here. I'm like, did I really just say that about another person? Like,
people you root for, and then there's Jake Lamb.
I believe you did a whole episode on that. Jake Lamb's not a good baseball player. You had formulas. He brought in that chalkboard.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
We had a lesson plan.
Yeah, you kept showing us like we didn't believe you. We're like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
maybe
I was right. No, I was right. I just want to be clear. I was right about Jake Lamb.
455 says you're wrong with a 500.
He just went to a new team, and all of a sudden, he's got superpowers that we never knew about. It just ticks me off a little bit. It's when your girlfriend gets a hotter.
I know. We know. I know. It's a good metapor. I get it.
Yeah. I just wanted to point it out again.
Right.
So let's see what Jake Lamb does in the last game of the season.
Next week, we're going to talk about Jake Lamb again.
Next week, we'll update you on Jake Lamb and all things Diamondbacks, we promise. Except for Ratleon. Can we just drop that right now?
No, we're not. Okay. I'm still mad
if
about
that. If he rears his ugly head again.
I swear to God, I better never see that.
I just figured maybe we could
again.
Just stop talking about it and it might go away. I don't know. We thank you so much for listening and for giving us any sort of time. we always appreciate that. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fitcher as well. You've been listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast here at ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.
Rat Leon.
That was my best one.
Oh, my God.